This week on Barber.
This week on Blah Blah Blarg.
This week on Barbell Shrugged, we interview Carl Powley, movement philosopher.
Hey, this is Rich Froning. You're listening to Barbell Shrugged. For the video version, go to barbellshrugged.com.
I'm Mike Bletto here with Chris Moore and Doug Larson at San Francisco CrossFit. We're hanging out with Carl Powley.
Good pronunciation.
Gymnastics.
Very good.
He's known as the gymnastics dude in CrossFit. One of the gymnastics dudes.
It's funny, you know, everyone knows me as the gymnastics guy when I actually don't even care about gymnastics that much anymore. I know, it's funny, but...
Have you transcended the gymnastics?
No, I mean, I did gymnastics growing up, and I used gymnastics as an excuse to talk about certain things in the world of strength and conditioning, but... The world of artistic gymnastics, as you see it in competition, is no longer there. And the stuff that we do in the world of CrossFit or strength and conditioning, gymnastics-wise, doesn't even look like gymnastics. So I pay very little attention to gymnastics, but it's cool. It's a good term to have, at least. People say it's calisthenics or something like that.
I hate that
yeah,
one.
I hear calisthenics, I think, like jumping jacks and maybe push-ups, and that's about
high
it. Nothing fancy.
I know. It goes back to that PE time, and you're just like, oh, that's boring. But if you go online and you actually Google calisthenics right now, you get all those bar stars guys that are in the park doing crazy stuff.
Oh, like those Russian guys who do crazy shit, and the guys like in Brooklyn who do the crazy things.
Yes.
The bartenders.
So that calisthenics looks pretty badass to me, but...
I hear calisthenics, too, and I think, like, punishment.
I know. It's
gymnastics
kind of boring,
sounds
right?
So cool. Calisthenics sounds like I got
so
trouble.
So I guess you're on to something new then. New and sexy.
It is definitely
it's a new
sexy.
Space. Like it's not what you knew to be gymnastics. It's not like what you did in gym class. It's a new thing that applies to your life. It means something for you and helps you be better at everything you do.
No doubt. I think, you know, when I quit gymnastics, the big thing was this is how you do it, period. There's this straight line you just follow. This is the plan. And they had the solution. This is how you do it. And when I quit gymnastics, because, well, I injured myself a little bit as well, but...
You competed in Spain.
I competed in Spain, that's true.
The slight accent is probably effective with the ladies.
There you go.
A little slight accent works well.
It's worked sometimes. Sometimes they think I'm just dumb. It happens.
If you're handsome dumb, that's to your advantage.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. That's what I'm trying to read up.
That's right. They think they're taking advantage of you.
Yes.
Hey,
they
well
probably
done.
Do.
Yeah, I got this guy.
But anyways, gymnastics is one of those things. It's like, this is the lane. This is how you do it. This is how you make it happen. And it didn't really happen for me. So I felt a little disappointed. I was like, the system is wrong. This is dumb. But I found wakeboarding. I found snowboarding afterwards. And that's a freestyle sport where it's just anything goes. And I happened to get pretty good quickly. And people were like, oh, shit, how do you do that?
I trained hard my whole life to move well.
Exactly. Exactly. But it was very cool to be able to see that, oh, the foundation of gymnastics actually carried over. And it wasn't about the big, hard level skills or tricks. It was actually about just the foundation. Mm-hmm. Can you walk? Can you jump? Can you land? Can you do a handstand? Mm-hmm. Do you understand where your body is in space? That's it.
And the fundamentals.
Then, yeah, fundamentals. Mm-hmm. And that carried over. And I think being able to see that across disciplines is something that I guess I was doing early on, but it wasn't until CrossFit that I really realized that, oh yeah, that's what I do. Mm-hmm. I jump from one modality to another. I may be a specialist in gymnastics or whatever, but I can see why Olympic weightlifters do what they do. I can understand why the endurance athletes do what they do, and then my job is to just cross them over. So I call it freestyle movement, but...
You understand movement from the fundamentals of gymnastics, and everything else just makes sense.
Exactly.
I think a lot of weightlifting coaches kind of and athletes kind of see it the same way too.
Yes.
It's very similar.
I think so. I mean, I run into a lot of egos, and I have an ego myself, of course. You think you have the solution to the problem. And I think there's a lot of stubbornness, especially in those specific disciplines. And my job is to break down those walls and say, dude, it's not about that. Mm-hmm. It's about this bigger picture. It's about this team. It's about, you know, the road to win the Olympics or whatever thing you want to accomplish. And if you understand that and you can share that with people, now you're setting a benchmark that's going to really change the game. And that's what I say all the time. I'm like, I want to make history and I want to change the game. So jumping from one discipline to another, that's the ultimate.
You were talking about freestyle. I was doing some further searching because before today, last week, I was like, well, I know that Carl's a former gymnast and he has gymnastics wad, but then I found a NACA. Is it N-A-K-A?
Yeah, N-A-K-A, NACA Athletics. That was my first little company that I started here in the U.S. in 2004, and the goal was to train action sports athletes. And I was thinking, you know what? I'm going to do some gymnastics, strength and conditioning that I know, and a lot of trampoline work, and then I'm going to have
scariness. I'm so terrified of trampoline.
They're awesome. They're awesome. If you know how to use them.
I don't. Gravity rides me too hard for these things.
Dude, no, you'll love it. You'll love it. Anyone that gets on a trampoline smiles. It's amazing. Seriously.
It's like magical. Trying to skip and frown at the same time. Right. It's impossible.
That's right. I've never tried to do that.
You ever get into parkour, free run type stuff?
I have. It just hurts a lot.
Does it?
You're not landing
on soft mat all the time.
This dude's like an elite level gymnast. And he's like, no, it hurts.
This has to be the thing where when you see the YouTube video, all these great moves back to back, there's got to be 100 that the guy just runs right into the fucking wall. Let me roll back and do that again.
Exactly. You know what's funny is that the first time I think people started seeing me in the CrossFit world was because there was this Ninja Warrior audition tape that I put up.
Oh, yeah?
I got to find that, man.
Yeah, I made it to the show, and I fell on the first obstacle. So it was just like terrible.
What was the first obstacle?
Just some sidestepping. I slipped before I even crossed the line.
I've seen that
with
one.
With the slanted things that you have to hop from?
Yeah, you would think it's easy, right?
Yeah, it looks easy on TV.
When you're watching it, when I watch, I'm like, I can't believe those guys can't make it across.
Right. I know, these guys are dumb. And they're not, I was there.
I could do that snatch. That's the same thing.
Exactly.
Well, it's not like things that you've practiced on before. You don't know what it feels like. You don't know how soft the padding's going to be or how much grip you're going to have. Like, you got to just go out there and just kind of make it happen.
I got extremely nervous, actually. There was a guy in front of me that supposedly was good, and he fell on the first obstacle as well. And I'm like, how did he fall on this thing? And then they had all the cameras came up to him, and it was at least a 10-minute wait for me. And the guy's like, okay, once we count you down, it's ready to go. And I was just waiting and waiting and waiting. I got so nervous. My hands went numb. And as soon as I crossed the line, I slipped. And I was just like, I'm in the water. This is pathetic.
The only way you can do that kind of shit is to do it and miss that jump like 100 times. Then you got to get a feel for it. It's the only way. You got to jump in and get the feel.
Yeah. There's nothing
that
like jumping.
That salmon ladder is the nastiest thing I've seen.
Well, that's the whole thing. It's about jumping in and just getting it done. And I think people are so picky about, oh, yeah, this is the best way to train. This is the best thing you should be thinking about, or this is the technique. This is exactly what you should be doing. And it's not about that. It's about just jumping in and let your body take over.
And your story is so, all of our individual stories will be so unique, and all the variables are so different. You must jump in. All these great minds can guide you and be your educators, but you gotta fucking jump, man.
Right.
It's you.
Right. That's exactly what it is.
You're saying before we got started, you're working on a book.
I am. It's called Freestyle.
Doesn't it suck?
Now that you put it out there, you have to finish it now.
Write a book is like the biggest pain in the ass.
It's the biggest pain in the ass, and it's so hard. And I'm a terrible writer. But as you said, if I just write like I speak, hopefully it will come out nice.
I want to find yourself. I think if you just present what you are now on the page, then it has to be good. I think, like me, you're probably just bust your own balls about the writing. People probably fucking love the writing.
Maybe they do.
That's what's bad about being a writer is that you say to yourself, like, every word I've ever put on a page, you go, this fucking sucks. This is stupid. And even when people say, no, man, I found that to be really great, you go, yeah, but what's your motive? Mm-hmm. What do you want from me? You will just give me kindness.
Well, I think one of the things that is going to make it successful is that I have an awesome co-author. His name is Tony Sherbandi. He's a former, he's done a lot of things. He's an engineer, and he's done capoeira, and he's a neuroscientist and PhD, freaking smart guy.
Oh, shit.
And
Renaissance man.
Yeah, so very smart guy. And what he's done is he hasn't really helped me write it. He's helped me organize ideas, and he's asked the hard questions. He's like, people are going to ask you this. People are going to want to read it this way. These are your compelling stories. Bring that out. And he's been awesome. So without him, I don't think it would ever really work as well as I think it's going
to
go.
Like making it easier for other people to get through, like making the content easier to follow. Like he's helping with the layout and the outline.
Yes, exactly. So he's really been a key part of that. And I was just thinking about it this morning. I'm like, I'm so glad I have him around because he's just been awesome. And I can't wait to share there. It's called freestyle, and it's basically maximize sport and life performance with four basic movements. And those four movements you already know probably. You'll discover them.
What are they?
Oh, shit.
The audience might be asking that question.
They're actually pretty simple. First one is a burpee. Be able to get on and off the ground. Mm-hmm. Second one is squatting, but I talk about the pistol just because it's a pretty advanced body weight movement. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it also really relates well to things like locomotion, anything that has to do with walking, running, jumping and landing with one leg, mm-hmm. anything that has rotation involved. Then pushing mechanics, which leads up into the handstand push-up. Mm-hmm. And then pulling mechanics and being able to get over an obstacle, which is a muscle-up.
These are all my fundamentals. Mm-hmm.
That's right. You look exactly like a person that would do those four first thing in the morning.
If you could teach me how to do a handstand, like, I would just give you all the money I have because I don't know how you did that. You
dude, let's make it happen right after this. I'm ready. I need a check.
Oh, God.
I need to pay rent
soon. I just felt CTP smile.
So are you publishing small pieces of that online, like with blog posts and then getting feedback? That way you can, like, do little updates?
Starting, I think, next week, we're starting to film a series of videos, and we're going to film 9 videos on the outline and start posting that, I believe, in December. And then we're going to be posting every 2 weeks. And then after that, we'll probably post a little bit of an intro and then a couple of chapters leading up into June. And then if June works out the way I want it to, the book will be published and we'll be happy.
Nice.
That's
exciting.
It's quite a timeline.
I know. Structured.
Yeah. Did you set the structure, or was this the organized person?
We're constantly talking about these things.
Coffee.
He did
bring Ivan. We love you.
This guy falls through.
Thank you. We're gonna pay you with much love.
he just got a hand job single.
He did.
Both the pants, HJ. I can maybe be talked into it for a latte.
We're gonna be meeting in the kitchen later on. Right.
So where are you gonna publish those articles
to?
And those videos to?
What was that?
Where are you gonna publish the videos you were just talking about?
This is on freestylethebook.com. Right now, it's just a little subscription page that just has the book on it, but making that official before the end of the year, and then just pushing it hard until the book actually comes out.
So if you want to get those updates, you can go there right now and put, like, your name and your email in the box or something like that.
Yep.
That way, when all of it comes out, you'll be notified.
Exactly.
Perfect.
So freestylethebook.com. Put your little name in there. I'll be hunting you down.
Very so cool. As people might know, I'm a social media hound. I follow you on Instagram.
Yes, you do.
And I saw some dancing stuff in Europe.
I know.
What was that all about?
Well, let's see. It goes back to, actually, when I was doing gymnastics, I had some breakdancing friends. And I would go watch these guys. I would be like, these are just a bunch of knuckleheads. They don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And in 2006, I met a guy at a place called Acrosports where I was working. That was a b-boy, a breakdancer, and he was a professional. And I really didn't know what that meant, but he's like, you know what? You should come with me to Korea and check this thing out. And I was like, Korea for a dance-off?
That sounds like a movie.
I know, it's weird, but
I'd have a hard time just going downtown
Korea
for a dance-off.
I know, it's just strange. So, but I got on this plane, traveled for 15 hours to get to Korea, but when we got off in Korea, all of a sudden there's buses picking us up, a bunch of people, fans, the whole thing. And I was thinking, what is this? But all of a sudden, it was this huge event, awesome competition, just super talent around. And I was like, this is it. This is the ultimate expression of freestyle community. There's music, just awesome.
And then you see the guys spin around like 15 times in their head without their hands touching. Going, what are you?
I know.
This fucking computer animation?
No.
Humans are capable of this?
Yes, it's crazy. It's crazy. But these guys are just awesome. So I decided, you know, I really want to get into the community. I'm a terrible dancer, don't have any rhythm. So I organized an event, and we called the event Down and Dirty. No routines, no commandos. It was awesome. And we actually had the second edition happen just 2 weekends ago here in San Francisco. Fantastic.
So this is pure breakdancing type stuff like you just were talking about?
Yes.
Dude, have you seen that, Doug?
I've seen the guys spin on their heads.
I should watch like a battle, like a grinding battle where these guys just fucking throw down. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
Doug's seen me battle on the dance floor before.
Yes.
Every time Mike battles on the dance floor, he thinks he won. So the only reason he thinks he won is because he's drunk enough to actually be out there dancing in the first place.
But these guys dance sober. That's the thing. And we
I do
realize,
know. That's impossible.
That's Mike. Breaking it down on the dance floor. Heavy quotations.
Well, yeah, so dancing has been a big, big part of this thing, and I just 10 months ago or so, I started just officially practicing. So every Friday at 10 with a teacher that I have, his name is Milestone, B-Boy Milestone, and he also actually runs a website called Milestone Breaks. I'm just going to drop that in there, milestonebreaks.com, and he has a bunch of tutorials. He does CrossFit here with us, and he trains, and he's just been phenomenal. So me and Coach Nate over here, Nate Helming, that you guys met earlier, he has been dancing with me, and it's been a great, great
Nate
time.
Has?
Yes.
We met him right before we got here, yeah.
Yes.
So this guy has beginner breakdancing videos on his site?
Yes.
So if you want to learn to spin on your head, you know where to start?
I'll get on that, yeah.
Yes.
I'm going to start practicing. I've got a big hardwood floor open
CTP
in my house.
Camp.
It's the best.
I'll put it on my TV. I'll drive my wife crazy.
She will love it.
Yeah. First thing in the morning, before breakfast.
You will definitely get lucky after it.
Is there it looks like we can do that for the video intro.
We will. No, that's actually not a very slippery one. I've got a couple splinters from that one already. But anyways, yeah, it's dancing has been a huge part of what I do right now, and it's really helped me with my thinking, and bringing it into just basic strength and conditioning has been huge.
Would you consider even like a little bit of a meditation practice almost? Because it's hard to, it's so foreign to you, it's so challenging, it's so fun that I'm sure it washes out the concerns you might be having every other part of your life. It's probably another good reason to do it.
Definitely, you're not embarrassed about anything after that.
Shed your shame, man. Shake your ass, shed the shame.
It's basically, you know, 3 30-year-old guys in a room, 10 in the morning, getting down. So it's kind of funny.
You know what, man, we don't even care.
It's awesome, it's awesome. And we get fired up. We're like, yeah, dude, that was amazing. So we get really fired up.
Awesome. All right, we're going to take a break real quick. When we come back, we're going to talk about...
Make something up.
I can't think of anything.
Keeping it sexy.
Carl's
keeping
it sexy. Carl's keeping it sexy. Secrets.
How Carl keeps it sexy.
I like it.
There you go. Hey, guys. Welcome to the break. Mike Bledsoe here. Just a reminder to go over to barbellshrug.com. There's a video version of this podcast, which you probably picked up on, and you can go and view that. And a lot of times we make references or we're showing a movement or something like that. And if you're watching the video, you can see what's going on there. What's the other thing, CTP? What am I going to tell those folks?
Technique wad.
Oh, yeah. If you're watching the video version, there's a technique wad. You'll learn something new about how to do a snatch or a clean and jerk or a muscle up or something like that. We'll usually put that in the middle of the show, so make sure to check that out. Thanks for joining us, and enjoy the rest of the show. We're back here at San Francisco CrossFit, here with Carl Powley. And I said it right
you
the second
it.
Time on the microphone.
Said it so
some
well.
Kind of a record, dude.
Yeah,
that was really good.
So how are you keeping it sexy?
Dude, that's a good question. I've been training lately as much as I can. All the travel was not good for me.
Makes it tough.
Oh, seriously, I was in the worst shape of my life for the past 3 years.
Airport food.
Have you ever lost a six pack?
I already lost it.
Oh, it's gone.
Yeah, it's gone. It's
Who picked it up? I think Jason added to his with yours.
Seriously, he is so ripped. Every time I'm in these CrossFit gyms, I'm just like, guys, are you getting?
Jesus Christ!
What are you on?
We talked to him the other day. He only eats like twice a day, but he's like 215 pounds of pure muscle.
Insane.
Just shredded.
Insane. But I'm trying to get my sexy back, training as much as I can. CrossFit has been awesome for that. And then a little break dancing when I can.
Excellent.
I do the awkward wobble.
One of the things that I've been really trying to learn more about lately is gymnastics progressions. Mm. And I feel like we have pretty good progressions in CrossFit for barbell work. And, you know, just the very basic gymnastics movement, like an air squat.
Yeah.
Maybe there's some good progressions out there for pistols and stuff like that. But what are some things you think that most CrossFit coaches would benefit from hearing as far as, like, teaching people progressions to, like, a handstand push-up?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like you know, that. It's funny you mentioned the squat. I think CrossFit does a great job at teaching squatting. And I think they've come up with some pretty unique solutions to fix basic just no bar, just squat. And yeah. I think it's pretty good. Now, the evolution of that is interesting because everything we do squatting happens to have a barbell on it, and we're always loaded. And what's happened is that because of this concept of barbell work or just something with dumbbells or kettlebells has forced us into certain positions that we think we have to adopt all the time. And it's actually taken away from some of the basic motor pattern that the squatting has, which is just being able to hip hinge. When I wake up in the morning, I don't really squat out of bed with my chest up. I usually bend over and I put my nose almost by my toes. I put my hands on my knees and I stand up. It's almost like I'm deadlifting more than squatting. And it's interesting because I think that's one of the things that's been really missed. It's like, okay, we're going to do this thing called squat therapy. We're going to put you against the wall, chest against the wall, arms up in this really weird position. You're going to try to squat there. And
so natural.
It's awful. And I look at him just like, what are you doing? First of all, your guy looks weird. He probably hates you already.
The answer is, I read this on the blog. I assumed it was really great to do.
Seriously, it is a good thing to do once in a while.
Well, it's probably not bad if you're trying to teach people barbell stuff, but you're talking about more natural movement.
Exactly. Like, what does it look like when you get up in the morning? And I was thinking about this because of my dad, and I was like, yeah, my dad and my mom, they need to squat. And my mom's like, I have really bad hip pain, and you know, she does yoga and stuff, and she feels pretty good, but they're scared of getting into CrossFit. I'm like, don't be scared. They're like, but they're teaching all these things. I've tried that stuff. It feels uncomfortable. I hate it. CrossFit is dumb. Basically, that's what they're saying. And you know, it was as simple as just telling my dad, hey, can you bend over and touch your toes? And he's like, oh, no, I'm too stiff. I'm like, hey, you can bend your legs. No one tells you that you can't bend your legs when you bend over. You know, these concepts of like, I should keep my legs straight. Someone has told him. He did gymnastics, of course. So he's like, straight legs as you bend over. Who cares about straight legs?
I am with you.
You know what I mean? Like, right.
I hate not bending my knees.
I feel the same way. I'm like, whatever. So I said, you know, just bend your legs, touch your toes. He's like, oh yeah, that worked. And it's funny because as he does that, his background, and if someone in the strength and conditioning community saw that in the room here as we're working, they'd be like, hey, no, rounded back is bad. Don't do that. Like,
if you got 500 pounds on top of it.
Exactly. So it's this, you have this preconceived notion that rounded back is bad, bent knees if I do.
The spine does do this.
Exactly.
It does that pretty well, you know.
Exactly. So it's being able to see movement for what it is in the moment and why that movement is being performed, and then being able to say, hey, as a strength and conditioning coach, as a CrossFit coach, as a gymnastics coach, my job is to go up and optimize how that movement in particular should be done so you can do it many times for long periods of time, whatever, and then be able to say, hey, I'm going to describe it back at you, but in the form of a progression, meaning in a development, a roadmap into the next thing. So if you were just bending over with your back rounded and bent knees, now I'm going to say, hey, I'm going to give you a progression that's going to build up to that, but it's going to allow you to load it up later on. It's going to allow you to do it fast. It's going to allow you to translate it into other movements. And that's where the excitement should be coming, not by saying, hey, that's bad. Not this concept of yes or no, or this is good, this is bad. That doesn't exist. It's just movement, period. And if they're doing it and they're doing it without pain, it's probably not that bad. Could we optimize it? For sure. And that's where you just have to know a little bit more about the human body, like biomechanics and all these things that no one really cares about. But
you're not saying someone to pick up like 500 pounds off the ground with a rounded back.
No, okay. That's obvious. And as human beings, you know.
It's obvious to you.
Exactly.
Well, somebody out there's like, he is recommending something I don't believe in.
Totally. Rabble. Well, bring the haters. I'm down with them. I love them, actually.
I got to learn to love them.
He's still working on it.
I hate their guts.
Don't worry. They're just a little scared.
You hate me? Fuck you.
So I feel like I've heard you say this before, where you try to get people during your progressions to get like 80% the way there, and then kick them up to the next notch. And then 80% they wear the way there, and then kick them up to the next notch.
Right.
That way, when they go back and start over at the beginning of the progression again, now they can get 100% there without getting discouraged that they're never going to get to that next level.
Exactly. So I call it the 60% rule. If you're 60% there, move on. 60% there, move on. But then every time you come in, you need to start from the beginning. So every time you go, you should start from the beginning of that progression. It doesn't matter how advanced you are.
Warm up with the basics.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. It's like if you're an Olympic weightlifter and you snatch 100 kilos, you're not going to come in the next day and just snatch 100 kilos. You go warm up, grab the barbell, do some movements, and then you build up to your 100 kilo, whatever it is the purpose of the day.
So maybe do some ring rows before you climb a rope.
Something like basic. That. Yeah. Basic.
What are the strongest guys in the world, what do they start with? A bunch of reps with an empty barbell.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who squats 1,000 pounds does that.
Right.
I have to explain that a lot. You know, people were like, they walk in the gym, put the bar in, start throwing 45s on it. What are you doing?
Right.
Chris over here, who has squatted like 1,000 pounds, this dude warms up with the barbell.
Right.
Well, I warm up with a lot of emotional instability and crying. So I go, why do I do this still? I go, well, I guess I feel in the mood now. And I play some love music. I go, oh, yeah, life's worth living. And then I warm up.
Yeah. Exactly. I feel the same way.
What are some progressions you'd like to see in CrossFit in regard to maybe more advanced gymnastics stuff and maybe what you'd like to see in the sport?
You know, I think it's naturally evolving. I talk about this all the time. There's three types of progression. There's a natural progression, just happens over time. So, for example, if I ask you to do a pull-up, from hanging with your arms straight to getting your chin over the bar, and then I say, okay, we're going to do 100 repetitions and I need you to finish within the next 10 minutes, your body's going to naturally adapt into this kipping motion. That's why kipping kind of is okay, right? It's just a natural adaptation and it's a natural progression. Then as a coach, I can go back and look at this natural progression and be like, oh, I see the steps and the movements that you did to accomplish that, so I can now teach that. So I have the natural progression, and then I have the formal progression. And that's the just formalizing what happened naturally to the body, that natural adaptation. And then is the creative adaptation. And that creative progression or creative adaptation comes with you saying, hey, you know what, we're going to change the equipment. Or I would like to see you go with your hands wide. Or I would like to see your hands a little closer together. Or maybe let's go one arm. Maybe let's flip the hand around. Maybe let's bend the legs here or keep the legs straight here. Whatever it is you want. But then that creative progression, what that does is that's the game changer. But it's funny because that creative progression is usually part of a natural progression. And that's the concept of freestyle. It's like, just go and do it. Jump in. Let the body take over. And then the body takes over and it turns into this signature movement. And that signature movement is the one that we grab and we gravitate towards because it's like, hey, that's what we want to optimize because that was the fastest for you today.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm all about.
There's so, some guy hogging a camera from us in our background.
I know, he's always there. He's very sexy too. Look at it. Oh,
looking supple.
He's very supple actually. It's crazy. But take for example the muscle up. Getting over an obstacle, just the rings. And the way the muscle up is done in CrossFit for time or whatever, the efficient muscle up that we see in CrossFit is not done in any other sport the way it's done in CrossFit. It doesn't exist. So it's a signature movement of CrossFit.
If you watch the muscle up done by a gymnast, it doesn't look anything.
No. Alike,
yeah, they're not doing it for speed specifically.
They're doing it so they can get into their routine.
Call any
That's
gymnast.
That's a curious way to look at it. Yeah.
Yeah, call any gymnast and ask them to do it the way, you know, someone like Camille or Rich Froning does it. They will not be able to do it that way because they have not trained it that way. It's a natural adaptation of CrossFit exposure, and it's a signature movement that now we teach. Same thing with butterfly pull-ups. You see butterfly pull-ups from the outside, you're just like,
what the fuck is that?
Dumbest thing I ever saw.
That's what every bodybuilder in the country says. Right? They don't understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
I got a question specifically about the butterfly. Because I would say the butterfly pull-up, I used to think that the snatch was the toughest thing to teach somebody. But now I completely disagree. I think it might be the butterfly. For me anyways, to teach. And do you have like a good progression for that?
I just posted a progression last month with like four steps
timing.
On it. So yeah, it's perfect timing. It's actually not that hard. And I think that's where studying movement is important. It's, you know, I talk about this high level framework of movement is just general. Purpose of why you're doing that movement is what makes it specific. And then there are positions that you study within that movement. And those positions, usually the transition position is the position where we see the athlete breaking down or that defines the movement. An example of that would be squatting versus deadlifting. Squatting, hip crease below the knee, just to say something. Deadlifting, hip creases above the knee. But you're still bending in the hip, you're still bending in the knee, you're still bending in the ankle. Same movement patterns, just different ranges of motion. But it happens in the transition that you see the difference. So in order to teach a butterfly pull-up, for example, you have to start from the transition. And the transition, well, it happens at the top. So you start from the top and you build your way out.
I have seen that. I won't call it a trick, but, you know, that progression where start at the top and then kind of let yourself down from there. Is that your favorite way to go?
That's one of my favorite ways to go, and you can do that with your feet on the ground just to get the movement, or you can do it from the top, and when you do it from the top without your feet touching, that's when you realize you're stiff as hell and you have to go talk to Kelly.
There you go. Is that the same as Gray Cook's concept of reverse patterning? Are you familiar with that?
Yes, yes. That's exactly what we're talking about. And that's kind of the concept of, hey, we are born to push. If your car breaks down, you don't pull your car to the gas station, you push it. And most of the movements we see, even Olympic weightlifting, is a pushing movement where pulling is just for positioning. So by reversing the movement, now you're working on exaggerating pulling. And that's why, you know, old school strength and conditioning was like, oh, yeah, two pulls, one push. Two pulls, you may have heard that before, and something that everyone's like, yeah, I live by that. And it's because in the strength and conditioning world, our job is to exaggerate movement patterns and train where position, and this is what Kelly talks about all the time, Kelly Starrett, he's always talking about position being number one. We train it from a pulling perspective, and we could geek out on that all day, but that's kind of what we're talking about.
I also thought it was because most people bench press four times a week, or six times a week, as you said yesterday.
There was a time when I did that kind of stupid shit, yes.
I think it's one of those things where, like, I remember coaching some wrestlers, and I was like, never had them bench press. And they're always like, because you're going to do it on your own.
Right.
It's a good movement, just I don't have to put it in the program because I know you're going to do it.
Right.
And same with curls.
Right.
Same with stupid crunches.
For all the people that already can do muscle-ups very well, and they can do butterfly pull-ups very well, and they can do deficit handstand push-ups and what have you, like, where do they go after that? What are, like, the advanced movements, like, the next step in the progression for those guys that are kind of already there? They have arrived in the CrossFit world.
Right. Well, muscle-up to handstand is definitely a key one, and it's funny. On Instagram the other day, I posted a video of me doing a handstand push-up on the rings without my feet touching the straps, and I was shaking like a leaf, and fancy. It sounds fancy, but if a gymnast were to see it, would be like, this guy's an idiot that can barely do anything. But the CrossFit community was like, oh my god, dude, that's amazing. And it was viewed, I think, 200,000 times, and I was like, how's that possible? So it's all about perspective.
You gotta make more of those videos,
right? But let's say that would be a next goal. Hey, can you do a handstand push-up without your feet touching the straps? Can you do a muscle-up handstand and then hold without touching the straps? Are you able to do that strict? Can you do strict muscle-up press to handstand? And now it's kind of playing with that concept of, oh, what are strength movements in body weight terms, and what are dynamic movements in body weight terms? And then how do we implement stuff like conjugate programming into that, where now we're just addressing it through body weight? And then we can say, hey, let's challenge it even further. Let's go for long periods of time, or let's load it up.
So to put the gymnastics skills in perspective, like, in gymnastics, everything has a rating, right? Like a letter rating.
Exactly.
And muscle-up's almost like a basic skill. It doesn't even have a rating. Is that correct?
Yes. Level difficulty, there's like A, B, C, D, E, super
right.
E, F.
And isn't an Iron Cross like a B skill?
It's a B skill.
And there's like E's and F's?
Yes.
Like, what would be, what's a crazy E type skill?
Actually, someone posted yesterday a video on my Facebook page of this guy doing, it's an Egyptian guy. I don't follow gymnastics that much.
Is he just floating and flying?
He's not holding on to the rings, and he's
just
levitating.
Like holy shit, look at that gymnast.
But it's almost like a front lever, which is, if you've ever seen it, it's hanging under the rings with your body pretty much projecting out in front of you.
Yeah.
Just
and holding
using
yourself
your
flat
wrist
to the
ground.
But this one, his hands are actually by his hips, which is the reverse movement of a Maltese.
Like a Maltese,
which it just sounds crazy.
Is it a Victorian cross, or is that different?
That's a different thing.
Shit,
they
can't keep up with any of it.
I can't keep up with it either.
At that point, it's like Formula One racing. It's like, no way I can conceptualize what you're doing right now.
But that's the whole point. No way I can conceptualize what you're doing. No one gives a crap about that, right? It's awesome to watch. But if I show that to my mom, she'll be like, great. And then she'll forget about it 5 minutes later.
Right. How could she even relate to that?
She can't.
It's impossible.
But what if I told you that movement comes from a ring row? And that's a basic way of you getting yourself off the ground. If you fall and there's something you can grab and you pull yourself up. Now it's something that's interesting to someone like my mom. And then what if I talk to someone like Annie Thor's daughter, who's won the games twice, and I work with her, and she's always trying to, you know, challenge me, and I'm trying to find ways of challenging her. I can say, you know what, you think you're very good at pulling? Let's challenge you in this motion of pulling, and you'll see where you're breaking. And let's take whatever broke there and apply it to your pull-up, and now we'll make you even more solid. And I think that's being able to see movement as a continuum, because the truth is no one cares about very specific sport stuff that seems intangible, impossible for people to achieve.
So you're an assistant coach to Annie Thor's daughter.
That's
what exactly
true.
Is your role?
Moral
there?
Support, wipe up the tears, massage the feet.
Supplemental sexiness added to the room.
No, what I do is, Yami Tikan and her head coach, and they've been together now for 4 years, I believe. And I was called in 3 years ago just to help a little bit with handstand push-ups and some basics. And we started working, and I started realizing that this girl naturally adapts into the most efficient movement patterns I've ever seen.
Might be why she could win the games.
She's going to win it again.
Good job. That's a great insight.
Yeah. But this girl needs training the same way all these other girls need training. But we're going to take advantage of this natural ability that she has to create these very efficient movement patterns. And from there, create signatures that she can apply to the CrossFit Games and kill it. So my job is to say, hey, I like what you're training. I just want you to look at it a little bigger. I like what you're training. I like to look at it a little bigger. I like how you're programming. This is how we address strength. This is how we address dynamic movement for speed and application of this movement. And I think that's where I come in as an assistant. I'm just helping guide.
Very cool.
Yeah.
In regard to getting better at gymnastics and adding, when you think about adding strength with a barbell, you think about adding weight. When you're thinking about gymnastics, a lot of times people think about adding reps.
Right.
What's your perspective on that?
Well, strength, this is kind of like the discussion about what is intensity. And who knows, right? But with a barbell, it's very simple. It's like you add another pound, another kilo, you know you got better.
Right.
In gymnastics, once you hit 20 reps, who wants to go more than 20 reps? That's boring.
Not me. I don't want to go longer than 10 seconds on anything.
Me neither. Yeah. Me neither. I think it's boring. So it's about saying, okay, let's set a standard that forces you to have to work harder to achieve the movement. And that can be simply changing how you're grabbing the bar. Or it can be, say, something like, I think they do that at the CrossFit Gymnastics certification. I haven't been there yet, but I think they do a lot of very slow movement patterns, like it's Cirque du Soleil trying to showcase strength. And what they're doing is showing that every millimeter of the movement has control. And this is something that's very artistic gymnastics driven. So that's another way of showcasing strength. But then if you can't take that slow movement and add speed to it,
because that's life, right?
Yeah. You're not that strong. And the truth is, there are a lot of gymnasts that are very high level that I personally know that you think are very strong, but then you put them in other scenarios and you're like, oh, you're like a little leaf, like just me.
Yeah.
Well, that's what makes really good weightlifters. Really good weightlifters, because when you have 500 pounds across your chest and you dip and drive really fast, you don't get pushed around by the weight. You push back into the weight. It's the same thing. Like at high speeds, I'm still forceful and in position. That's why, you know, Ilya jerks 550 pounds of his head, or whatever it is. You know?
So you're saying once you get to about 20 reps, then you make the progression more difficult.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's 20 or 5. Everyone's talking about prerequisite strength, and you should be able to do 5 before you do kipping. That's bullshit. That doesn't exist.
Arbitrary.
Because I know a lot of people that do a lot of kipping pull-ups, can't do one pull-up strict, and are still fine. Is that a good thing? Can I make them better by increasing their strength? For sure. And that's something I discuss all the time, but it's this preconceived notion, once again, that you need to be number strong in order to be movement strong. It's not the same thing.
Speechless.
Wow, man. That's a new perspective. That's a different perspective than what you're hearing from most coaches.
I think everybody in the audience also went,
whoa.
Well, you know, it pisses me off, to be honest with you, because when I was a gymnast, they told me this is how you should be doing it. And I didn't make it. Maybe I wasn't that talented. Who knows? But I felt like the system was broken. And
you're
even
so punk rock, dude.
I know.
You're so fucking punk rock.
I know.
Man, get your leather jacket, man.
I know. But it's true. And I was, you know, I've been watching some advanced gymnasts lately, and I hear the coaches telling them, hey, change this, change this. And they're like, coach, I'm trying. And the truth is, it comes from they can't even run. There's something about your run that's not allowing you to do this thing. There's something about your handstand that's not allowing you to do something. There's something about your push-up that's not allowing you to do that element of strength. And they're missing the whole point. But it's not because they don't know. It's because they're so far and deep into the game that they miss the foundation. I think that's what we need to come back to. What does strong really mean, and how do you define that?
Boom.
So for an advanced athlete that has some, you can see there's some type of movement issue or there's some type of weakness, and they break down on said movement more than other movements. Mm-hmm. How do you dig in and find out what the real problem is, like the weakest link in the chain?
Well, it's like anything. If you're, you know, a scientist is always testing different things and you make all these errors and mistakes, and it comes down to just experimenting, trial and error. Mm-hmm. But after testing with a lot of people, which I've done, and I know a lot of strength and conditioning have done as well, mm-hmm. you discover that there's certain universal truths. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh yeah, the spine has to be stable. In order for the spine to be stable, I need to have my pelvis neutral. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what pelvis neutral is because I can't really see it because I don't have x-ray vision, but I know you have to squeeze your butt. If you squeeze your butt now, you're going to have a more neutral pelvis, which means a little bit of a hip extension. Once you have hip extension, now we can stack up the spine. So it's like, it's really boring.
What? Were you talking?
But that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. It's like, you don't care. Tinker. And here's one of the things I say, look, it's simple. If it looks good, it's probably good. Right? Simple. Yeah. It's sexy. You want it to be sexy. Yeah. The second thing is you want it to be mechanically sound. I don't know what that really means all the time, but can you do it pain-free? Discomfort, it's good. Pain, bad. Mm-hmm. And then does it match a rule of a game or a standard of a sport? Mm-hmm. And those are things that we can play with a lot. It's like CrossFit. It says go from under the bar to over the bar when you do your pull-up. Now do it as fast as you can. It eventually turns into butterfly pull-up. Mm-hmm. If that butterfly pull-up looks shitty, it's probably shitty. Now let's fix it. Let's try to make it look good. Mm. It's intuition.
Excellent. I think it's about time to wrap it up because we got Kelly next.
Part two and three now.
CTP was giving me the signal earlier. We gotta go.
Thank you for having me, guys. This has been awesome.
Fantastic.
You guys. Yeah. Thank you. One more time, what was the name of the book you're coming out with soon, and where can we find more information?
The book is called Freestyle: Maximize Sport and Life Performance, 4 Basic Movements. And the website is freestylethebook.com. You can subscribe there. Within the next 2 months, we'll be posting some videos, and then there'll be some intro and chapters coming.
Fuck excellent. Yeah. Okay. And make sure to go ahead.
I was gonna say, do you have anyone you wanna thank or any sponsors or anything like that?
Well, definitely Nutri4 Sport helping me out all the time. Reebok has been supporting me all this time as well. They've been awesome. And my co-author, Tony Sherbandi, is amazing. My business partner, Wyatt Wong, and the girl that makes it happen is my future wife, Tanya White.
Very cool.
There you go.
All right, guys. Make sure to hit up barbellshrug.com, sign up for the newsletter so we can send you updates that we will not mention here.
Thanks, Carl.
Thank you. Awesome, guys. Thank you very much.
That was really good, dude.
Was that good?
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thank you.